You're listening to Stateside. I'm Max Johnston, filling in for April Baer. Recreational marijuana was legalized in Michigan over 2 years ago, but you still can't buy it in Traverse City, even though 12 new businesses are ready to sell it. Now, dispensary owners are suing the city, hoping to cash in on what could be a big tourism season. Paula Hagen runs one of those dispensaries, Green Farms, that's spelled with a PH. She says she's turning a lot of customers away.
Constantly, probably 50 to 100 people a day.
These are people who want recreational marijuana, but Green Farms, along with every other dispensary in Traverse City, can only sell medical marijuana. So Hagen sends these customers to their store in nearby Kalkaska. Recreational sales are allowed there. But she does one other thing first.
We do have a petition. It says, help us go recreational by signing this petition for Traverse City. There's hundreds and hundreds of signatures on that.
Traverse City's 12 dispensaries are beautiful buildings. Most have big, bright signs and sleek storefronts. And it briefly looked like Traverse City would allow recreational marijuana sales last summer. The city commission came up with a whole rubric for dispensaries to open, but they capped the number of recreational shops in town at 4. Commissioner Brian McGillivary said they could take it slow.
You know, we can always expand it, so let's start small and work our way up.
Traverse City's existing dispensaries hated this plan and quickly sued. A judge banned sales until that settled. Mike DeLora runs House of Dank, another dispensary eager to sell recreational marijuana. DeLora worked with Traverse City officials on medical marijuana, which he says went well, but slowly.
Traverse City from the start has been taking this, you know, very seriously, and they've done a really good job with the existing stores to ensure compliance.
So he assumed the city would use the same process for recreational marijuana. And he was stunned when they proposed limiting the number of dispensaries to 4.
Most municipalities don't decide that based on their population, they only need 3 coffee spots. We will allow you to decide if you can compete in our marketplace.
And not only would a select few be allowed to sell recreational marijuana, but there would be a number of hoops to jump through. Dispensaries would be scored on various criteria. A higher score would increase the chances of becoming one of the lucky 4. For instance, extra points would be awarded to dispensaries that build affordable housing.
And we took a look. We hired an architect to take a look at some residential housing. It looked like Frankenstein above my store, all right? Like, it just doesn't make any sense to stuff apartments on top of this.
Michigan's recreational marijuana law does allow cities to set these criteria. It's a so-called merit-based system. A couple places in Michigan have been sued for doing this, including Traverse City. So now the courts must decide what's a fair definition of merit.
What you might perceive as something that's beneficial, someone else might perceive differently.
That's Matt Abel. He's the executive director of Michigan Normal, a marijuana advocacy group. Abel helped write the law that legalized recreational marijuana in Michigan. He says they wrote it to empower cities so they would embrace recreational sales. It's done that in some spots. In others, it's spawned lawsuits.
It's gone slower than many of us would have preferred, but it is moving.
Traverse City's rules are being litigated. City officials couldn't comment for this story, citing that lawsuit. And the clock is ticking. Mike DeLora at House of Dank says if they can't sell recreational marijuana, most of Traverse City's dispensaries will close within a year. He hopes something will change before Memorial Day.
This is likely going to be the most lucrative travel season in Michigan's history.
DeLora says if city officials are looking for how to sell weed safely, his answer is, let us do it.
We've been here a year. There's been no trouble. I mean, nothing's changed. You know, Traverse City is still this world-class town that people want to visit and live in. And cannabis hasn't altered that.
In the meantime, the state already gave out nearly $10 million to communities that allow recreational sales. Nearby Benzie and Kalkaska counties each got over $80,000 for their shops. Traverse City got nothing. In that story, you heard from attorney Matt Abel. He joins me again to talk about how places like Traverse City ended up in this situation with recreational marijuana. Matt, welcome back to Stateside.
Thanks so much, Max. Great to be here.
So overall, since the recreational law passed a couple years ago, how would you say the recreational marijuana industry is doing?
Well, it's gearing up slowly but steadily. I think one of the major holdups has been that so few municipalities have passed ordinances allowing adult use facilities in their jurisdictions. But as time goes on, we see every month a few more places that pass ordinances and allow facilities. And so it is, the numbers are creeping up. I think currently there are around 50 or so municipalities that are allowing adult use. We're at maybe 150 on the recreational side. So we at least expect most of those that have allowed medical facilities also to allow adult use facilities.
And so, as you mentioned, a lot of shops have opened up across the state and a lot of entrepreneurs are now getting into this business. I've heard reports of prices dropping for cannabis pretty severely in some places. Have we seen a tipping point yet of supply versus demand for marijuana overall?
Well, we're starting to. It certainly fluctuates where commercial cannabis was up at maybe $4,000 a pound, and now it's closer to $2,000 a pound through the, you can tell through the tracking system with the state of Michigan. But part of that may be that we're still seeing the results of the harvest from the fall. Eventually, the market will flood. We're still seeing more and more growers coming online. But along with that, paralleling that, we're seeing more and more retail stores open. And so we're still increasing in the number of consumers in Michigan, because as people see a retail store nearby or are become aware of it, they'll go there and patronize the store. And so demand still is increasing. At some point, demand is going to level out where everyone who wants cannabis is able to get it. And then the price is going to continue to go down. But I think we have a couple of years at least before the market settles to a stable price.
Sort of on that note, do prices with marijuana fluctuate seasonally like other commodities? Like as people spend more time outside or go on vacation, I would assume more product is moved off the shelves. Does that have an impact on some of the price here?
I can't say for sure. I'm not up on those stats, but there are seasonal fluctuations for sure. Partly, you know, we've had the pandemic for the last year, and so travel and tourism has been much reduced. But just recently, I've had several people approach me talking about the opportunities for expanded cannabis retail businesses due to tourism and the tourist economy, and how to align it with recreational activities. For example, you know, some people, they don't just want to go canoeing, they want to consume some cannabis and go canoeing.
And some of the legal disputes in communities in places like Traverse City are over this merit-based approach that they've taken to getting dispensaries in town. I wanted to ask you specifically on that. There's been a lot of confusion, lawsuits over the merit-based approach. Is this tension on this point? Is this a problem of us under-regulating marijuana or over-regulating it? How would you classify it?
I'm not sure how to answer that question, if it's over under regulation. The law says that if a municipality puts a cap on the number of any type of licenses, that they need to determine who is best suited to have those limited licenses. Some have much more extensive and strict rubrics, if you will, that score the applications. Others, much more simple. And that tends to be the place where people who lose in that selection process object to the scoring and the way that it's handled, that there is no consistent scoring system statewide. Sometimes the municipality will put things in their scoring, such as the person owns a local business. Which doesn't really say anything about whether they're best suited, other than the community determined we're best suited. You know, the people who are best suited are people who will keep the money in this community. And maybe there is something to that. And sometimes the person who's best suited is, you know, the nephew of the township supervisor. It comes out that way sometimes. So I'm not a fan of caps. I think, you know, we should let the consumers determine whether a business fails or succeeds, and the more competition, the better. And the communities that do have scoring who get into trouble, they end up being sued by losers or people who were not awarded the licenses, put it that way. And so some of those communities, like Warren, had to completely redo their evaluation process because one of the city council people who was on the scoring committee was scoring the, I think it was 15 licenses to be awarded. They scored their 15 favorites at 100% and then scored everybody else at a very low number. And so that the court determined that wasn't an individualized evaluation of the adequacy of or appropriateness of that application. And so they're having to go back through that scoring system. And some of the municipalities, having seen this, now outsource the grading of these to an independent, like an accountant, a CPA, who would hopefully, you know, not use emotion in here, but just hopefully objective scoring so that they can actually determine who's best suited. And then if there's a lawsuit over someone who's unhappy with their evaluation, they end up suing the CPA or the evaluating firm rather than suing the municipality.
So Traverse City officials have blamed the state's recreational law itself for some of this. They say they got to wait for the courts to figure it out because the law is new and it has things in it that are contradictory. They've said these in city commission meetings. I wanted to ask you, you were involved with drafting the bill. Do you think that holds any weight?
No, I don't. I think that people are using that as an excuse to refuse to implement the system. I think certainly there are things that could be clarified and expanded upon, but the bones of it are there, and it's not that hard to understand, and that municipalities should stop blaming the legislation for refusing to move forward on this. Certainly, you know, there are plenty of communities that were not confused and didn't have a problem enacting an ordinance and implementing it. So, you know, and if they have suggestions for improvements, those certainly should go to the legislature. I know there's been discussion about combining the licensing systems for the medical marijuana program and the adult use program. And I think they're up to draft 7 in that, or they were. Some people think it's really just the large providers who are always trying to squeeze out the smaller entities and the smaller providers. Some people think that there are folks who want to wipe out the caregiver and patient system, where caregivers can supply patients with medicine. We want to protect home growing. Not every state that has legal cannabis has the right to grow plants in your household. I'd like to see that expanded, frankly. Someone who rents an apartment where the manager or the owner prohibits growing is not allowed to grow anywhere. So I'd like to see us use this to build a better society, both to create a lot of jobs, which clearly it is doing, to raise tax money, which clearly it is doing. And then the things that people don't see as much, which is that statistically, we know now that in places with retail cannabis stores where people have access, not just where it's legal, but where people have access, that overdoses and deaths from opiates are at a reduced rate. While cannabis in itself may or may not be safe, and I think it is, no one ever has died from cannabis. And now that we've had medical marijuana for over a decade, people can see that the sky has not fallen. And now that if grandma eats a cookie, she can sleep and everybody's good with that. Nobody turned into an axe murderer. So it's all good.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Matt Abel. He's an attorney with the Michigan Cannabis Council and Normal. Matt, I saw a figure that was jarring the other day, and it said that as of last year, the state of Michigan still had 250,000 residents that still had marijuana convictions on their record. I wanted to ask you, is there any concrete movement to expunge those?
Well, yes. In fact, the legislature has passed a bill that takes effect April 1st that will at least make the availability of expungement much more broad to a large subset of people. Under the old law, people were not eligible for expungement if they had more than one felony and more than one misdemeanor. At this point, people are eligible even if they have multiple offenses. There's the one bad night scenario where someone is convicted of a number of crimes from one incident, and those are now expungible. And as far as the cannabis crimes, certainly anything that is not now a crime should not be on someone's record. And we are continuing to move forward and to press the legislature to make that effective more quickly.
So I always thought it was kind of strange that people can make money off marijuana, but at another moment, someone wouldn't be able to get a job because of it. Would that dynamic still be at play after April 1st?
Yes, unfortunately. Michigan is an at-will employment state, meaning anyone can be fired for any reason that isn't prohibited by law, like gender, race, religion, national origin. Being a cannabis consumer is not a protected category, and Michigan has no employment status protection for people who are cannabis users. Now, we expect that as time goes on, more and more companies are finding that it's difficult to hire people who can pass a drug test, a pre-employment drug test, because of cannabis. And so at Normal, one of the frequent complaints we get or requests for action is people who have sensitive jobs, who are employed, for example, in the transportation industry as a truck driver, let's say, who has to test on demand. But if they have 3 days off and they consume some cannabis, they're going to be dirty for a month, perhaps. And somebody's status when they're not working shouldn't matter. One of the problems up to this point has been that we haven't had really good ways to do impairment testing at the job site, but there are beginning to be some apps. There's a UMass professor who developed an app called Druid, D-R-U-I-D, that is kind of a game that someone might play on a laptop. And so every time they clock in for work, they need to play this game, and the game determines whether their reactions are slower than normal. It does what employers say they want, which is to have a sober workforce, but it also protects the rights of consumers, adults who want to consume cannabis on their off hours.
Matt Abel is an attorney with the Michigan Cannabis Council and Normal. Matt, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. I appreciate it, Max.